Tony Gregg Show.
Welcome to the Tony Gregg Show on Crick Info Talk.
News this week.
The only meaningful excuse I heard from the South Africans after their 4-0 drubbing in the one-day international has come from their coach, Mickey Arthur. Arthur said he regrets that he and the rest of the team placed so much importance on winning the Test Series at the expense of the one-day internationals. This is extremely surprising because most tours these days include one-day internationals, and for the South Africans not to be ready for everything England were going to throw at them is, in my view, a strange revelation. Perhaps the fact that England has been so poor in terms of their performances in one-day internationals in recent years had something to do with the South African attitude. The more likely reason is that England have improved out of sight under Kevin Peterson, whose appointment has coincided with the return to form of Andrew Flintoff and the re-emergence of a fired-up Steve Harmison. This, along with what seems like a huge lift in team confidence, resulted in a very one-sided contest. It may also be that Graham Smith, who played with an injured elbow, which they say could keep him out of the game for a while, and the absence of the ever-reliable retired Sean Pollock also contributed to their flat performance. Arthur could also not think of any one player who was involved in both the Tests and the one-day series in England who had not picked up a niggle. Graham Smith, as I've mentioned, has a tennis elbow, and it's apparently there because of overuse. Mark Boucher has a fractured finger from overuse. Mornay Morkel, a strained side, and Dale Steyn has not recovered properly from the shoulder injury he picked up in the IPL. Regardless of all this, it seems to me that Peterson has been the difference, and it may be that England are on their way to the top of the table in one-day internationals and even possibly test matches. Let's hope so, because cricket needs someone to put a stop to the total dominance of the Aussies. The decision by the ECB to grant Cardiff a test at the expense of Old Trafford, while surprising to some, has been on the cards for a while. Lords and the Oval are both extremely profitable, and the rest of the grounds have always lived with the threat of missing out. They seem to take it in turns to be vulnerable. Recent upgrades to Trent Bridge seem to have relieved the pressure on a test there, and Edgbaston in Birmingham has survived because it's also one of the bigger grounds. Recently, the Rose Bowl in Hampshire has also been considered, but it's Cardiff that has won a prize Ashes test. I suppose it's understandable that the England and Wales Cricket Board should play the odd test match in Wales. Will this play into the hands of the Aussies? Well, I doubt it. Mind you, England does have a good record at Old Trafford, and it has been a result pitch, and time will be the judge if Cardiff surface measures up. The Andrew Symons fiasco has dominated the cricket news in Australia in particular. For those of you who don't know the background to this saga, Symons went fishing when he should have attended a team meeting, and because of what has been described as other indiscretions committed in the past, the players' leadership group decided he should be sent home. It's important to note that it was not Cricket Australia who made this decision, but the players themselves. There were plenty of cricket lovers in Darwin who were looking forward to seeing Symons play and who were upset at the decision. They don't often get an opportunity to see the Aussies in action live. Some were of the view that he should have been heavily fined and made to play. Symons is one of the best paid cricketers in the world, so a fine of around $50,000 may have got his attention. But the challenge is a bigger one. Symons is apparently not happy the way he has been treated by Cricket Australia recently and is, at the moment, an angry man. Being chucked out of the team won't help him solve that problem, and there have been suggestions that he may just give Cricket Australia and his mates in the Aussie team the fig in favour of more fishing and the IPL. I can't believe that he'll go down that course. In fact, I certainly hope he doesn't. Andrew Symons is a wonderful talent, playing in a team that have recently lost their superstars and crowd favourites, Shane Warne and Adam Gilchrist. I hope the mates who have sacked Symons are quick to make sure he doesn't desert the established game. Some snippets from the week that was. In a surprise announcement, Sri Lankan spin sensation Ajunta Mendis had admitted that Indian batsmen had started to unravel his secrets. Can you imagine Shane Warne saying something like that? All he ever did was said, "I have another secret up my sleeve." Mohammad Ashraful, the Bangladesh captain, wants his team to be among the top five in the world, facing flak from supporters and media for his team's poor results and his woeful batting form. Ashraful believes the hard work will pay off for him. I am the biggest critic of my inconsistencies. I know I've let my people down, including myself, Ashraful said after they were defeated by Australia. A spin captain, Shane Warne, has Michael Clarke ready to become more than just an occasional bowler for Australia in next month's Test series against the Indians. Getting tough with national players who are refusing to compromise with Sri Lankan cricket over the lucrative Indian Premier League, which clashes with the proposed England tour, Sri Lankan Cricket Interim Committee Chairman Arjuna Ranatunga stressed that he would not budge from his stance honouring Sri Lanka's tour obligation with England next year. Sri Lankan cricket is negotiating with the players and a final decision will be taken soon. Stuart Clarke admits the onus will be on he and his fellow quicks to strike early against India next month if Australia are to retain the Border Gavaskar trophy. Australia's bowling attack in the highly anticipated series will be short on experience in India. Conditions over there certainly very difficult for fast bowlers, and Clarke, Brett Lee and Mitchell Johnson have never played a test in India. Greg Chappell has agreed to join the Australian Centre of Excellence in Brisbane as the head coach. Former England batsman Graham Heck announced that he will retire at the end of the summer, and a power struggle has threatened to split English cricket over the terms of the multi-million dollar deal the England and Wales Cricket Board signed with Texan billionaire Sir Alan Stanford.
What's eating Tony Gregg?
For a while now, I've been alluding to the possibility of players retiring prematurely from tests and one-day internationals in order to take advantage of the riches offered in the 2020 format in India and indeed around the world. So far, Australia has lost Adam Gilchrist and New Zealand Shane Bond. It now seems that Sri Lanka have run into a problem with their players over the IPL. Muthiah Muthidharan, Mahela Jayawardhan and Sanath Jayasuriya are the first of their big names to have taken a stand. As a result, have attracted speculation that they may play in the IPL rather than tour England with the Sri Lankan team. Sri Lankan cricket are in a financial pickle at the moment and are doing their best fix this problem. By touring England, the board's financial pressure will be eased. Logic would suggest that the players and the Sri Lankan interim committee have to meet halfway to resolve the standoff. The players must be allowed to play in the IPL until just before the start of the first test in England. Sure, this will mean that they don't get paid quite as much, but this is the only compromise I can think of. It should also be remembered that it was, after all, the IPL who were quick to give assurances to all boards that they would never prevent any players from playing for their country. And to be fair to them, they're not doing that in this situation. It's really the players who want the money. They've been as good as their word, but the players don't like giving up the money at all. It's also common knowledge that Sri Lanka and England in particular, and South Africa to a lesser degree, are taking a firm stand against players who break ranks. So it's going to be interesting to see if the IPL finds a way to stop the boards from arranging matches during IPL tournaments. I don't think this is likely until some of the cash made by the IPL finds its way to the boards who produce the players. Australia, for example, had 19 players involved in the first IPL tournament, and there was no provision for a share of the profits going to Australia. This will change, I'm sure, given time, and we could see a formula whereby each country is paid for each participant they provide. This apparently happens in Europe in football, and if it doesn't start to happen in cricket, the open window India are keen to secure for the IPL is unlikely to be forthcoming.
My favourite cricketer.
Michael Hussey is a player Australia is depending on to keep the run coming far. It took him a while to get the recognition he deserved playing brilliantly in county cricket, but it wasn't until Justin Langer fractured a rib that Hussey received his break following 15,313 first-class runs, a record for an Australian before wearing the baggy green. Hussey also owns the mark for the fastest player to 1,000 test runs after taking only 166 days. After 16 tests, his average was 79.85. That was only a few runs below that of Sir Donald Braddon, a great performance. That has since changed, but he has a calm outlook. He's a strong team man, and he has the ability to perform in most situations. Like Langer and Graham Wood, his predecessors as left-handers in Western Australia, Hussey is a thorough and very hard practicer, and has a tidy, compact style. Skilled off the front foot and the back, he's wonderful to watch. He's only the third man after Wally Hammond and Graham Hick to amass 3 county championship triple hundreds. Michael Hussey is certainly one of my favourite bats and will be vital to Australia if they are to remain top of the pile in world cricket.
One question only.
Right, the question of the week. This comes from Alan from Newcastle. He says that both Rahul Dravid and Jacques Callis have been the most consistent and prolific batsmen for their teams for the past 10 years, but this year has seen a bad slump in form. What could be the reason for this, and what next for both of them? Well, Alan, my first thought is that they're both getting close to retirement and have probably lost that burning desire to succeed that goes with the start and even the middle of one's career. They're also both players who historically have found scoring fast in one-day internationals a little difficult. Now they're confronted with a super hectic 2020 format where all the money is made, and that, I am sure, is frustrating both of them. The other common factor that Dravid and Callis share is that they both have had leadership roles recently, and once they are lost, they're often missed. Don't ever underestimate the effect of ageing, though. As top cricketers get older, they tend to dwell on problems and feel their form slumps a little more. Mind you, we are talking about two great cricketers here, and even if their time is almost over, they can both be proud of their achievements. Well, we've got a bit of good news for those of you who have been taking part in my show each week. The last show of each month, we've decided that we're going to involve some of you that send in questions, and believe me, we get a lot of them. What we're going to do is we're going to try and answer a few of those questions, a few more of them, but we're also going to involve a couple of you who, in fact, send in a lot of questions on the basis that we'll have a bit of a discussion. So there's an opportunity for those of you who are interested in cricket and who've been listening and loyal to the Crick Info show that I do. Perhaps you'd like to put yourselves up, and then, who knows, we may just end up having a chat together. Please don't forget to email your queries to tony@crickinfo.com. Don't forget to mention your name and the place where you're from. I'll pick the best question and answer it in next week's show. Thanks for your company. This is Tony for Crick Info Talk, signing off.
The Tony Greig Show on Crick Info Talk.